You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dalton takes the snap, will throw out to the right. Montez Sweat picked it off, and now he's running in.
Ryan.
Pick six. Touchdown.
Ryan.
Touchdown, Washington.
Oh, wow. Look at that. This defensive line is pumped up. They are jazzed. They are celebrating. This is one heck of a Thanksgiving Day game for Washington.
Ooh, this might be the best turkey and ham that I than ever had after this victory. I'll tell you what, but you're absolutely right. I'm out here screaming, Ryan Kerrigan, because for him to go up there, tip that football, and run it in, how many times have we seen Ryan Kerrigan do that? I'm talking about J.J. Watt did it earlier today. I like Montez Sweat doing it a little bit better. I tell you what, that's 4-4 speed running that ball in the end zone.
There you go. We got it together technically now. We're back on the air. How about Montez Sweat? How about that game yesterday? Some of you may have heard me open up the show. I know Anthony did. I'm here. We had some technical issues. We're all good now. And we've got it all figured out. Right, Anthony? We sound good right now? I'm not coming through at 80% speed. People can hear me. Good morning, everybody. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving Day. I certainly did. That really was an ass-kicking of the highest order. And you know what? It was the game this year for me that I got the coach and the coaching staff that I thought I was getting when they hired him back on January 2nd of earlier this year. When the owner stepped to the podium and a day after New Year's Day wished everybody a happy Thanksgiving. How prophetic was that, as it turned out? Ron Rivera, his coaching staff, and the 53 players he brought with him to Dallas, for what was being talked about in the pregame shows, if you were watching, it was supposed to be, you know, this is the beginning of a run for the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 3-7. They're the most talented team in the division. They played really well against Pittsburgh a few weeks ago. They beat Minnesota last week. They're getting a bit healthier. They're getting better. Well, it didn't work out that way. The script yesterday included Ron Rivera's finest moment of his first season in Washington. I'm going to get to a what do you got here, updating a developing situation in the NFL. We'll do that. I'll get to my game take, what I liked, what I didn't like, a few other observations in about 10 minutes. But I want to start the show here on this Friday after Thanksgiving with a nod and a real congratulations to Ron Rivera. And I became yesterday even more optimistic and even more sure that they made the right hire. Who knows if it'll work out long term, because I certainly thought they made the right hire with Joe Gibbs in 2004. I thought they made the right hire with Mike Shanahan in 2010. They definitely made the right hire in 2001 when they hired Marty Schottenheimer. Ron Rivera, I always felt, and I said this the day they hired him, and many of you questioned me, many of you agreed, I thought he was a really good coach in Carolina. And one of the things I always respected as a fan watching Carolina over the years is they played with a toughness and a level of discipline that this organization has been the opposite of over the last several years. It's a reason I always felt Carolina's teams were good teams and even at times overachieving teams. And this is what I was expecting when they hired him, a team that would have a level of professionalism that it hasn't had in many years. A team that would be tough and physical on defense, a team that wouldn't beat itself with things that they could control, teams that would play with professional discipline. And also in Ron Rivera, you were getting the Riverboat Ron portion of Ron Rivera, who in the past, in certain games, he went for it when it called to go for it. You know, yesterday was a game they had to win, and he went for it. He rolled out plays that you wouldn't see necessarily in a game against, you know, the Giants in Week 8. You know, saving it for a game for first place in late November on Thanksgiving Day against your arch rival, and he rose to the occasion. The fumble-rooski. We saw the fumble-rooski in the NFL for the first time in years. I mean, are you kidding me? He referred to it on his Zoom call and gave a nod to the late bum Phillips, calling it the Bummer-rooski, but he really said that, you know, he got it from that movie, The Little Giants, that movie that Ed O'Neill was in years ago. I think that movie's got to be 20, 25 years old. By the way, more on the fumble-rooski history of that play. It's actually a good story. And Bum Phillips was and has been given credit for being the first coach to ever run that play. And I'll share with you when it came about and who followed him running that play afterwards. But Rivera went for it yesterday. Logan Thomas throwing a pass, taking snaps under center in short yardage situations, running the read option. Mike McCarthy, you know, he was thinking big too, but every one of his moves failed. Fourth and one from his own 34, a pass, a fake punt deep in his own territory. Rivera and his staff were two steps ahead of Mike McCarthy and his staff all day long. McCarthy and his staff outwitted, you know, out-risked from the jump. Now, there were a few breaks. You know, the injuries to Dallas's starting tackles, which were pretty much their backup tackles to begin with, that didn't hurt the effort. It helped that CeeDee Lamb dropped a touchdown pass. It helped that on a fourth and one, Ronald Darby didn't get called for pass interference because he could have. But really, none of that mattered. Washington was the better team. Washington was the better coached team. Washington swept Dallas. They completed the sweep of Dallas yesterday. Do you know it was the first time a Washington head coach swept Dallas in his first season? Vince Lombardi didn't do it. Joe Gibbs didn't do it. Mike Shanahan didn't do it. Ron Rivera had a team that looked like it was in deep trouble after a 30-10 loss to the Rams. And I'm not talking about just deep trouble for this season. Maybe deep trouble for next year and the year beyond. In fact, he appeared to be in a bit of trouble. A game in which he made the big change at quarterback, that Rams game, Kyle Allen got hurt. Alex Smith looked awful on a rainy, miserable day that ended in a 30-10 loss. And it really looked, after that game, like they were on the verge of being in the mix for Trevor Lawrence next April. Since that day, the team is 3-3. The three losses are by a total of 7 points. The three wins are by a total of 58 points, including two wins over Dallas by a combined 47 points. The average score, Clay, of the two games with Dallas this year, Washington 33, Dallas 9.5. Now, it's totally reasonable to say, hey, have you checked what their record is? They're 4-8. Or they're 4-7, excuse me. They're 4-7. Maybe I'm already counting the Pittsburgh game as a loss. They're 4-7, Sheehan. They haven't played one team over the last six games that's been any good. And they will next week. And maybe that will be the reality check for them and for anybody that's starting to halfway believe in this team. But I said something 2 weeks ago after they lost to the Lions. And I just made a simple statement. And I certainly was not implying that they were a good team. But I just said, you know, you can look at their record and, you know, there are times in which the NFL is weird. Like a lot of bad teams are capable and a lot of really good teams are really not what you think they are. Look at Houston here recently. But I said after that Detroit game, you know, the thing about this team is they don't suck. They don't suck, and they haven't sucked since really They made the quarterback change, which did sync up totally with a schedule that got very, very soft. And it's not soft in their next three games. They play at Pittsburgh a week from Sunday. Then they play at San Francisco. And the 49ers are having a train wreck of a season off of their NFC Championship season, all due to just being a team that's been ravaged by injuries as much as any team in the league. But the 49ers are still very capable defensively. This will be a much tougher test defensively for Washington. And then they get Seattle at home. They get Seattle at home the week of Christmas, all right, December 20th. And you look at these next three games and you size it up to the rest of the division and you say, somehow, they got to get one of them. If they can get one of them and get to five, then they've got a chance with the Panthers and Eagles to finish off the season to get to a division crown. I think the Giants are going to be there. I don't feel that way about Philadelphia anymore, but I think Philadelphia is certainly capable defensively. The Giants have a Joe Burrow-less Bengals team this weekend. All right, so they're favored. So the Giants actually by late Sunday night or late Sunday afternoon, because I think they play a 1 o'clock game at Cincinnati. The Giants could be at 4-7, and they would technically be in first place because they've swept Washington. All right, so but after that they have the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Ravens. So this may be not the run that the pregame pundits were talking about for Dallas. This may be the beginning, the last 2 weeks, and really the last six, of a bit of a run for Washington, who has played over the last 6 weeks professional, competent NFL football, and they've been, for the most part, physical, tough, and disciplined. I think the most impressive part of yesterday's game was just how urgent they played and how hard they hit and how well they tackled. That may have been the best tackling game by this team this year. And that was a hallmark of Ron Rivera's teams at Carolina. They were always excellent tackling teams. All right, my game take coming up here in a minute. I want to get to a what do you got first.
All right. What do you got?
So it's really getting interesting with the Ravens and the Steelers. It was a game that was scheduled for last night. We sat here on Wednesday, and talked about the possibility of that game getting postponed. It did get postponed until Sunday at 1:15, an odd start time, but it's going to be an NBC game because it was supposed to be an NBC game on Sunday night. But the Ravens keep testing positive. And yesterday, Lamar Jackson tested positive for COVID-19. And the head coach, John Harbaugh, made the statement that nobody's allowed back into the facility until Monday, which would obviously mean that they're not playing on Sunday. Adam Schefter, among many, tweeting out yesterday that sources say this game is not going to be played on Sunday. And that then brings up the possibility of the Ravens having to forfeit the game. They're the ones with the COVID-19 issues. They're the ones that may have broken protocol. All right, and this was something Roger Goodell said, you know, back during the whole Tennessee issues and the postponements involving some of Tennessee's games, that there could be they could forfeit teams if it's proven that they were not following in-facility protocol. And there may have been an issue with the Ravens not following protocol. Schefter was tweeting throughout the day yesterday, one source telling him there's no way this game can be played. Many others saying it's very possible the league will forfeit this game. Now, if Harbaugh knew with that statement about we're not allowing people into the facility, he told players they will not be allowed to return to the facility until Monday. And he said that's at best case. Harbaugh not allowing players to go to the training facility until Monday. Well, wouldn't that indicate that they can't play a game on Sunday? They're not allowed at their facility. Are they going to be allowed to convene together in Pittsburgh for a game on Sunday at 1:15? There's some interesting information around the, the agreement with respect to COVID-19 about games, if they're not played, that neither team gets paid. Well, that would hardly be fair to Pittsburgh. Hardly be fair if this was a Baltimore issue. By the way, this is a huge issue in the AFC playoff race for the Ravens. Now, the Ravens would love to have the NFL say, the game is off Sunday, all right? By the way, if they play it Sunday, it's going to be RG3 as the starting quarterback against the Steelers, because you've got to quarantine for a minimum of 5 days. And you've got to, and five, we are well, if the positive test for Lamar Jackson came yesterday, there's no way he can play on Sunday. If somehow the league doesn't forfeit the Ravens, but somehow ends up rescheduling that game for a Week 18, which is in play right now, and that's always been in play as a potential fallback plan in the event that games get postponed and/or get postponed with no ability to make them up. That would benefit the Ravens, who would clearly enter a game Sunday afternoon super shorthanded. There's something else that came up about the whole Ravens situation, and that was a tweet, and I'm looking for it right now, but I'll be able to paraphrase it. The possibility of the Ravens, who are scheduled to play not only on Sunday right now against the Steelers, that game has not been canceled yet, but they are also scheduled to play a week from last night, Thursday night, against the Cowboys. That's a game that's scheduled right now. Field Yates sent this out last night. Field Yates with ESPN, right? I think he's with ESPN. A look-ahead idea for the NFL to consider in Week 13 is to move the Steelers-Washington game from Sunday back to Thursday, meaning not last night, but a week from last night, while pushing the Ravens-Cowboys game from Thursday to Sunday. If Baltimore's out of their facility until at least Monday, this buys time for the NFL to not miss two Ravens games. And that does make a lot of sense to me. And I know that in past years, there's no way they would tell a team 6 days before a game that, oh, by the way, you're not playing a week from Sunday, you're playing next Thursday night. But this is a different year, and the NFL is not going to have another primetime spot go dark. Last night was a big hit to the NFL to not have the Ravens and Steelers in primetime on Thanksgiving night. A big hit to not only the NFL, but the NFL's sponsors, who I'm sure get make goods that will far outmatch what they may have lost last night. That's a big loss for advertisers last night to not have that game. You think the NFL Thursday night game between the Ravens and the Cowboys, that they're going to go dark again? I don't think so. I think a game from the Sunday schedule would get moved to Thursday, and it would make sense that it's the Steelers, because the Steelers are going to have this long respite without a game. It would be disadvantage Washington, for sure. Not that they would be on a short week, because it would be a week-to-week thing. They played Thursday. They're not playing Sunday. But keep in mind, and that's something to look to, that it's possible that the NFL's got some major schedule changes upcoming for this weekend, which would include, obviously, the loss of the Ravens-Steelers game, which at this point really looks like it may be difficult for the Ravens to play. If they're not allowed back in their facility until Monday, how are they going to play a game in Pittsburgh on Sunday, right? So then you get to next week, and you've got this game between Dallas and Baltimore scheduled on Thursday night. If the Ravens aren't allowed back into their facility until Monday, are they really going to be able to play a game on Thursday night against the Cowboys? The NFL, I think, will look to move a game, and it would make the most sense to move Pittsburgh and Washington, because neither one of those teams would be on a short week. Pittsburgh wouldn't have played Sunday, Washington wouldn't have played Sunday, and they'd be the only two teams on Sunday's slate that wouldn't be in a short week situation playing Sunday then Thursday. So keep an eye on that. Field Yates put it out there. It's actually a phenomenal idea and solution, and the NFL is not hesitating this year on scheduling games quickly without giving teams much time to prepare. Like Ron Rivera, I'm sure, is giving his team a bunch of days off. Well, if they're playing next Thursday, there may not be any days off. They'll have to adjust in this very strange year. All right, when we come back, my game takes start to finish. What I liked, what I didn't like, several other observations. Sorry for the rough start here this morning with some of the technical issues, but we were over-turkeyed and over-served last night. I wasn't, but some of us were. But I'll take the blame for it. Up next, my game take. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980. Don't forget, you can also listen to us on the team980.com and on the radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com.
An inside handoff. Gibson has the space at the 30, 25, into the free, 10, 5, touchdown! Hey. Touchdown, Washington! Yeah.
Third on the day.
If you put it on tape, they will keep doing it until you stop it. And Dallas cannot stop the read option. It is wide open every single time they need an opportunity to get a play. That is what they're going to, as you see Antonio Gibson, because of the read option fake and all the distractions with the linebackers, guys out of gaps. Donovan Wilson, again, is diving with his hands out, missing another tackle. As Antonio Gibson, man, he's looking more and more like the Rookie of the Year, Bram. I was trying to give you one of these receivers.
I tried to tell you. Third touchdown of the day.
Yeah, I don't know if these were read option plays, D-Hall. I don't think Alex Smith is keeping it on the read option, but their inside zone from their shotgun and some of the running schemes that they've got going are working. It's not what, you know, the slobber knocker lovers like out there lining up and get a fullback in the game. It's a lot of run out of shotgun, but a lot of that inside zone stuff and even their power stuff is really working well. What a day for Antonio Gibson. The second big day against the Cowboys for Gibson. He went for 128 yards on 20 carries in the 25-3 win a month ago. Yesterday, 20 carries, 115 yards, three touchdowns on the day for Antonio Gibson as Washington completes the sweep of the Cowboys. First sweep for them since 2012, and as I mentioned earlier, it was also the first time a Washington head coach in his first season completed the sweep of Dallas. Gibbs didn't do it. Lombardi didn't do it. Schottenheimer didn't do it. Mike didn't do it. None of them did it. Rivera swept the Cowboys, and they did it in convincing style. 25-3 in the first one against a really banged-up Dallas team. And look, they got some breaks yesterday with Dallas being hurt and losing their tackles early in the game. But an absolute beat-down embarrassment of their arch-rivals on Thanksgiving Day, 41-16. All right, let's get to my game take here. Let's get to the game take, Anthony. And let me start with the things I liked, and then I'll get to some of the things I didn't like, and then we'll get into a few other observations. I'm going to start with this. I loved what I deemed to be the play of the game. Terry McLaurin's touchdown-saving hustle play on the INT return. Terry McLaurin saved the day in many ways, the way DK Metcalf did in Arizona a few weeks back when he chased down, I forget who it was for Arizona, stopped him. Arizona ended up not scoring on that drive in that game on that Sunday night, if you recall. Because Arizona went for a fourth and goal. But this one came yesterday in a 7-point game. You know, it was 20-13 in the game at the time. And Alex Smith made really, I think, one of the worst decisions and one of the worst plays he's made over the last three games. That was a really difficult, a play for him. He held on to it long. He made a terrible throw. You could see the replay of him after the game, after the play, being pretty upset. But it was a great play by Terry McLaurin, a phenomenal hustle play by Terry McLaurin. They got bailed out a little bit in the follow-up when CeeDee Lamb clearly dropped that touchdown pass. It was right in his hands on that third and goal from the Washington 10. And they held him to a field goal. You need a little bit of luck in that situation. McLaurin's play is a phenomenal play. Dallas probably takes advantage of it, even though Jalen Smith gets caught from behind if CeeDee Lamb holds on to the touchdown pass, but he didn't. And the bottom line is that Jalen Smith didn't score because Terry McLaurin chased him down. Phenomenal play in the game, a big play in the game, because at that point, Dallas was on the verge of tying the game up late in the third quarter. Instead, 20-16. Dallas did get the ball back again, down 20-16, but Washington forced a punt, and then that was when Dallas went for the fake punt after that in a 4-point game, which we'll get to here momentarily. Everything else that Terry McLaurin did is on the things that I liked list. I mean, it's now obvious, right? Terry McLaurin's a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, we could go through the list at another time, you know, whether he's, you know, 8 or 6 or 9 or 10 or, you know, maybe he's 11 or 12 right now. He is the best wide receiver Washington's had in the building since Art Monk, since Gary Clark. This is how good he is, and the potential is just amazing, especially when you consider the type of professional and the type of competitor he is, and we saw it on that particular play. 7 more catches, 92 yards in the game. Terry McLaurin was outstanding and made the play of the game. Number 3 on the things I liked list, I just thought their tackling and hitting all day long was phenomenal. You know, they got off to a bit of a rough start with some open receivers on Dallas's first drive. We'll get to the list of things I didn't like, which, by the way, is probably the shortest list in recent memory that I can think of involving this football team. The opening drive, they were caught a little bit off guard. There were people wide open, but there were also a couple of people that fell down or tripped, like Kendall Fuller did on one of Dalton's passes, I think, to Cooper. And, you know, after that, though, the urgency, the hitting, the tackling was outstanding. One of the best tackling games of the year for this team, if not the best. And again, as I mentioned in the open, it's something that's been a hallmark of Ron Rivera teams going back to Carolina. They're tough, they're physical, and they've always tackled well. He's got to get his middle linebacker. He's got to shore up that that backer core, and he's got to shore up that secondary, and maybe it's going to take another offseason or two to do it, but this defense is coming, and it really, really played well yesterday. On the list of things that I loved from the game yesterday, and I thought it was an absolute key to the game, was the tackling and the hitting in this game. They really took the life out of the Cowboys, especially as they got into the second half. As I mentioned at the top, this was a coaching win. All right, Washington's staff completely outcoached Dallas's staff. Part of it was, you know, that what McCarthy did on his end. You know, he was a mess during this game. The fourth and one in the first half from their own 34. I'm sure the analytics people loved it. Got to go for fourth and one, no matter where you are. But they probably hated the play call. I would have definitely, had I been a Cowboys fan, hated the play call. You know, I think Washington got bailed out a little bit because I thought Darby definitely interfered with Lamb on that throw. Was it Lamb or Gallup? I forget who it was. But if you're Dallas and you've got Zeke Elliott and he's making all that money and it's fourth and one from your own 34 and you've decided you're going to go for it, and it was actually fourth and a little bit less than one, don't you just run Zeke there? The throw went incomplete. And again, Darby probably gets away. I thought they let him play a little bit yesterday. But McCarthy, you know, what are you doing there? And then the fourth and 10 fake punt from deep in their own territory. I know people are saying that there was a receiver wide open, but it didn't appear as if they were trying to throw the football. It was stopped dead in its tracks, in part because Washington, as they were all day long, was super disciplined, super prepared for something like that. But Rivera and his staff had that team ready from the beginning. A lot of you have complained about the starts, and certainly there's no denying that they've been behind in a lot of these games this year at halftime. But I really think that it's the context of being behind hasn't been because they weren't ready to play. And it's something I've mentioned after the last two or three games. You know, they dominated time of possession against Detroit and against the Giants. And, you know, and they had opportunities to put a lot more points on the board, but there were a lot of self-inflicted mistakes. As I mentioned earlier, I love the fact that Rivera coached this game like his team had to have it, which they did. You know, using Logan Thomas early on a deep throw to McLaurin, the fumble Ruski, which we've already talked about. They were ready defensively. They gave up some big plays early, but overall they were ready for this game. It was an impressive coaching win for Washington. On the list of things that I liked, I love the backs, man. You know, I think, and I tweeted this out at one point during the game, I forget when. I think the two massive surprises of this season that none of us saw coming in August or even in September is, number one, Alex Smith, obviously. The return to the field and then the performance with him back on the field. That's a shocker. But I think number two is Washington's skill position players on offense are so much better than any of us thought. We didn't know, and one of the things I remember cautioning everybody is, look, most of the players that we're saying don't give them a chance offensively in terms of weapons, we haven't seen. We don't know. We don't know about Gibson. We don't know about McKissick. We don't know about Logan Thomas. You know, these were all unknowns. We knew about Terry McLaurin, but we just assumed the rest of it wasn't going to be very good. We were wrong. Washington doesn't have great weapons. I'm not saying they've got elite skill position players on offense, but they are more than good enough to move the football and make plays. We know what McLaurin is. How about all three backs yesterday? Gibson and Barber in particular. You know, McKissick was not out there for as many snaps as he typically is. You know why? They had so many third and shorts. You know, typically McKissick's going to get a lot more snaps on third and five, third and four, third and three. Washington in this game had five third and ones and then a fourth and one. They converted all of them. and they converted them. Barber had 2 third-and-1 conversions. Gibson had 2 third-and-1 conversions, and then Barber had a 4th-and-1 conversion. And then you had Logan Thomas on a 3rd-and-1 on a read option keeper where he got the first down. So you didn't see a lot of McKissick in part because you had so many 3rd-and-super shorts, and they're going to use their runners. I thought their backs, Gibson and Barber, and McKissick, even though he didn't have many touches and didn't have the same number of snaps that he's typically had, but he is a mismatch for linebackers, man, a major mismatch. You know, they had the 3rd-and-long in the red zone, which was just an easy check down to McKissick, who made one guy miss and easily got the first down. I thought Barber yesterday ran with great vision and was really excellent in short yardage situations. I love that first down run from Barber, where he got hit short and then spun out of it and with great second effort made the first down. I thought Gibson's first touchdown run was excellent vision and loved the action in the backfield with McKissick. The backs, the offensive weapons that Washington has, a big surprise to the season and one of the reasons they have been able to move the football. You know, with a quarterback that, you know, has pushed the ball down the field more than he had in 2018, but he's able to dump it off to McKissick, dump it off to Gibson. You know, he's got a true weapon in McLaurin. The weapons on offense, again, I'm not suggesting they're elite, but they're good. They're versatile. Big surprise on the season, on the list of things that I liked from the game. Well, you got to say that third downs were phenomenal on offense. They were 7 for 13 on third down. This has been a constant, you know, theme of the last 6 games. They've been an excellent third down offensive team. They had a near 12-minute time of possession advantage. And how do you get that time of possession advantage? Long drives where you're converting third downs. And you're getting 3 more snaps. And 3 more times 40 seconds. You know, of the 7 third-down conversions, as I mentioned, 5 of them were 3rd-and-1s. That's really rare in a game, right, to have 5 3rd-and-1s and then a 4th-and-1. Barber, as I mentioned, had 2 of the 3rd-and-1 conversions and the 4th-and-1 conversion. Gibson had 2 3rd-and-1s. Logan Thomas had 1. You know, the third-down offense leads to significant time of possession advantage. And yesterday, unlike against Detroit in the first half, as an example, they made it pay off with points. I thought the offensive line was absolutely fantastic yesterday. Dallas's defensive front, and I warned everybody of this on Wednesday when I went through the keys to the game. It's faster, it's more athletic, it's played better, and they did get some pressure early on Alex Smith. They got pressure on Alex Smith anytime there was a legitimate dropback. I think Scott Turner called another really good game, you know, trying to throw the ball when Dallas wasn't necessarily expecting it. Lots of first down throws. But I thought the offensive line did a great job. I thought the defensive line did a phenomenal job yesterday. Again, the tackling and the hitting, but how good was Chase Young? You know, Chase Young yesterday, even when he didn't make the play where it would appear in the statistics, he was influencing the play, or he was the reason someone else made the play. I thought Daron Payne at times yesterday was dominant. Again, they were working against a banged-up offensive line that was banged up during the game even worse. The third-down defense in the game yesterday, Dallas was 4 for 13. And by the way, of the 4 conversions Dallas had on third down, 2 of them were 3rd-and-1s. You know, the other 2 were the scrambles by Dalton, including a long 3rd-and-12 scramble that he picked up in the first half, 3rd-and-13, whatever it was. They didn't really convert a legitimate third down, you know, and you know, distance with a quarterback throw all day long. The red zone defense was outstanding, stopped Dallas each time in the red zone. I think they were 0 for 3. Now, again, the CeeDee Lamb drop on the possession after the Jalen Smith interception where Terry McLaurin ran him down, that helped because he was open and it was a perfect throw by Dalton. And Lamb just dropped it. But still, the red zone defense ultimately was 0 for 3 on the day. It really helped, as I mentioned, I've already mentioned a few times, and I put this on my list of things that I liked list, is that Dallas was losing players throughout that first half. And the offensive line issues that they had looked similar to the offensive line issues they had in the first game back at FedEx Field. You know, they lost Zach Martin, they lost Cam Irvin, and basically you're talking about two guys who were the backup tackles to the original tackles. They were the backups. You know, you ended up facing the backups to the backups at tackle. The special teams on the day, as I keep going down through the list of things that I liked, were outstanding. The stop on the fake punt. How about Tressway's punt in the third quarter that drove them well inside their 10-yard line? And hey, how about a golf clap for Dustin Hopkins? He didn't miss an extra point, and he didn't miss a field goal in the game. The list of things I didn't like, really short. I got one thing on the list. I mean, I'm going to get to a full sort of Alex Smith breakdown because he's been on the list of things that I've loved the last 2 weeks. I didn't put him on that list yesterday. I thought he was very, really good. But I didn't certainly have him on the list of things that I didn't like from the game. Ronald Darby was getting beat pretty good in the first half by Amari Cooper. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world because Cooper's really good. But Darby was struggling in that first half against Cooper big time. And the other thing I've got is I'm just not convinced that they should be putting Troy Apke out there for half of those free safety snaps. And maybe Jeremy Reeves played well enough, and he really did hit. And maybe Everett's back next week anyway. But Apke's angles are terrible. Cooley told me this on my podcast to start the season. He loves Troy Apke. He loves his speed. He loves his willingness. You know, thinks he's better at the line of scrimmage. But when you put him in space, he's got real spatial issues. He doesn't really play the angles well. He's got a difficult time sort of determining, you know, as the ball's in the air, where should I be versus where the guy that I need to tackle or defend is going to be. Those are the only things on the list of things I didn't like. I've got several more observations when we come back, when we'll open it up for calls at also. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Washington, they're in first place right now. The Giants play the Bengals, and they would be in first place with a win because of the sweep of Washington this year. But that was a dominant beatdown for the second time of Dallas, and you got to be excited about that. Few more observations and then your calls. What did you like? What didn't you like? What do you make of them being in first place? And do you agree with me that yesterday, at least in his first season, was the finest moment for Ron Rivera and his staff? I thought they were well prepared, and I think they went for it. I give them all the credit in the world. They seem to have this team rounding into shape. Now, the competition gets better, stiffer, but they have played 6 football games in a row in which they could easily, very easily, be 6-0. I do realize they're still 4-7. Not a great record, but they're getting better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the Team 980 on Team980.com, and now the Radio.com app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.